Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It was funny, I was talking to my wife before last night, and I was like, man, I got this conference coming up, and I already got that sermon, but I got to preach tomorrow, and I still don't have it. I'm like, Lord, and you know what? The funny thing is, God starts talking to you, and you kind of see how he's preparing you, but I'm like, hey, Lord, I just need that clarity on exactly what we're going to preach on. But God put something in my spirit that I think is going to be important and vital for us as believers. Amen. I'm going to start with this scripture, then I'm going to open up in prayer. It says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I'm just going to read this verse as well. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just give your name the honor, the glory today, dear God. We thank you, dear God, that we are able to gather together to worship, to praise, to strengthen each other, dear God. And we pray to God that you be glorified tonight, this afternoon. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm so used to preaching at night. That's why I said that. But my thing that I'm going to talk about today is pray, encourage, and strengthen. When I look at the body of Christ, it's great, like I said, that we come together. It's great. But when we come together, we have things that we must do. And that's pray for one another, encourage one another, amen, and strengthen one another. And as I was praying, I was like, man, you know, it's great when you go to churches and you meet somebody and they share a testimony. And you're like, oh, man, if God did it for them, OK, I know he could do it for me. Amen. That's why it's important that we have testimonies. That's why it's important that we share what's going on in our lives so that we can encourage one another. But how many of you know some of us need to be strengthened as well? Church is not just some place that we go to just to have a good time. It's to give us the strength to endure throughout the week, because we know that the Bible says we have an adversary, the devil, who is like a roaring lion. He's not really a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And guess what? I feel if you look at the stories of lions chasing animals, other animals, what do they look for? The weak ones. Right? So if we're not strengthening our brothers and sisters, unfortunately, we're like leaving them out there for that fake lion. Right? So it's important that we, as the body of Christ, understand our job is not to just come and sing these songs and high five somebody and hope everybody does well, but it's to pray, encourage, and strengthen. Let me read that scripture once again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yesterday, my wife preached a sermon, and you know, I was like, yes, she gets to preach. I get to just sit down and listen. I don't know about any pastors. Sometimes it's cool to just listen, right? Especially when you preach a lot. When you preach a lot, it's like, man, I love to preach. I love it. But sometimes I want to hear something to encourage me. And my wife preached last night about, what was the actual word that started with an E? Embrace. That's right. Embrace. Embrace who God has called you to be. Now, I don't know about you, but some of us run from the call. And not only running from the call, you might be in the call, but you run from moving forward in the call, right? Because it's two different things. You could be like David in the king, as the king, but you start slacking off. You start getting to a place where, oh, let me just chill. Let me put this thing in cruise control. I got this thing figured out, right? But if you say, God, help me not lose this hunger for your word. Help me not lose this thirst for righteousness, right? Because there's a lot of things that can go into those places. But we have to say, God, I need that. And my wife encouraged me yesterday, right? And just being around the people of God should encourage us. I'm going to go to Colossians 1. It's a few chapters over Colossians 1, and we're going to read 9 through 18. And kids, I ain't going to be up here too long, so you guys will be all right. All right? And this is actually Paul talking to the people in, I don't know if they want to call it I'm going to call them the Colossians because they were in Colossia. But I was listening to the word, and I don't know about you guys, if it's hard to read the Bible, I actually listen to the Bible. That way I can hear it from a different point of view. I think I'm more of an auditory learner anyway. So there's a lot of times where I just start to listen to the Bible. And as I was listening to it, I was like, okay, I know exactly what you want to say, Lord. But he said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. That's number one. We got to pray, right? Paul is saying, we do not cease to pray for you. And I ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many of us are praying for our brothers that they know what God really desires? Our sisters, pray for them. Amen. Sometimes we want to tell them, but how many know that sometimes your prayers are not even sometimes, most of the time, your prayers are stronger than what you tell people. Because you can tell somebody, tell you blue in the face, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. But until it clicks, right? I don't know about you guys. If you guys was in math class, did anybody like math? I like math. All right, that was my favorite subject. But until you got the formula, it didn't matter what the teacher said. Until it clicked, it was like, what am I doing? Right? That's why I didn't like geometry, because I didn't get it. I didn't catch the formula. I was like, man, there's too many in this. Algebra? Oh, that was easy, right? But when you catch the formula, it clicks. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes your brain has those aha moments. Like, oh, I finally got it. And guess what? When you pray for somebody else, you're praying that God reveals himself to them so they can have that, oh, man, I got it now, right? It's okay to tell people what to do, but when they get that aha moment and realize really what they're here for, it changes everything. It's like that little meal drink. It changes everything when they get it. Amen? So we're praying for that they will be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then here it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. All right, these are some more things. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Then it says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Then it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, when I read this, Paul is praying this for the other believers. He's praying that they be strengthened, right? He's praying that they be encouraged. He's praying that they understand the purpose. And as we live in an age right now where many go to church but are not being the church, we have to pray that we understand what we're here for. We have to pray, God, please show us, and I'll even include yourself in it, because guess what? Sometimes we think we know it all. Sometimes we think we got it together, but I still pray, God, especially when I'm praying with people that may not know God as much as I feel like I do, I say, God, please reveal yourself to us. God, continue to reveal yourself to us so that they see that I'm on the same playing ground as them and I need God's revelation in my life. I need to know who he is for myself daily. It's not good enough to just know him one week and be like, man, God was real that week. But when it gets really real, you're like, God, I know you was real like when I was back then, but I need to know you're real right now. We have to pray that for our believers. Even people that don't know God, we got to pray that he would reveal himself to them. Then it says this. So after he's done praying, he says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So now Paul went from praying to reminding them what actually happened. Said, I'm praying that you understand why you're here, that you're strengthened, that you know that God is with you, that he's going to give you power. He's going to make you fruitful. But now I want you to understand why you're here. Because God has delivered you. Right? He has delivered you from darkness. Now, the great thing about the deliverance of God is that when you come out of the dark, people see it. Right? I don't know about you, but I've been in church a long time. When you see somebody that was way out there and they come and get delivered, it sparks something. Right? You get excited when you continue to share the gospel, and I don't know if they're wherever they're from, but if they get their life and give it to God and you see the darkness is taken from them, it gets you excited. That's why it's important that we continue to share the gospel. I really feel like this. If you don't share the gospel, Christianity begins to get boring because you're not seeing nothing happen. But if you share it and somebody gets saved, it's like, oh, that's a touchdown. Let's go. Come on. God is doing something right now, and I'm excited of what he's doing because I see it. But when you don't see it, it's like, God, can you touch somebody? Reach out and touch them, Lord, please. But we need to know that he has snatched us out of darkness. And it says we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. That should encourage us because some of us, all of us, as Paul said, we all once walked in darkness. Paul even said he was the chief of sinners. And some of us will fight for that chief spot, right? We're like, man, I was out there. But it says that he redeemed us from sin, the forgiveness of sin. And that's freeing in itself. I remember praying for somebody that gave their life to God. And he was like, man, bro, I just feel like all the weight just came off of me. He's like, man, I feel good. I can't explain it. I'm like, man, that's the power of God. He has freed you from your sin. Amen? Let's keep on going. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, that's us, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. All right, and what's going on there? They're letting us know about God. They're letting us know about Jesus being the firstborn, right, raising from the dead. And thank God, because of what he did and us accepting it, we can raise from the dead as well. So Paul is painting this picture. First he prays, then he encourages us on who we are, and then he strengthens us by knowing who our God is. When you know who God is, it changes you. When you can say, man, God is, there's a scripture in the Bible that I always look to. It says, Jesus told them, I have overcome everything. And you're going to do the same thing. Right? That should strengthen you. If Jesus went through it, and I know he's the Son of God and he's God, but he actually, I always call him, he was the prototype for us. He showed us, he came down and showed us how we should walk this thing out. Amen.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is actually talking about Timothy. Paul is talking about sending Timothy and how the church was encouraged. It says, therefore, I'm going to read this whole chapter. This is like the main, and then we got one more after this. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, and I don't know why Paul said it like that, but maybe he was going through something. Paul, this guy right in the Bible said, when we could no longer endure it. He says, we thought it would be good to be left in Athens alone. So maybe they needed some encouragement. I don't know about you, but I don't believe just the members need encouragement. I believe the pastors need encouragement. Pastor Darrell, has there ever been a time where you went to church and was like, man, I just need somebody to encourage me. I need to be strengthened. Right? Sometimes we just think the pastor's job is, if the pastor says it, it's good. Pastor. If the pastor does it, then we're great. But guess what? The enemy is trying to discourage even pastors. And let me give you just an understanding of a pastor. A pastor is a man or a woman just like you. Right? So it is our job to encourage them. So it says in verse 2, they thought it was good to be left alone in Athens and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laboring the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. That no one, check this out right here, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. All right, so they were going through something at this moment, and they had to send Timothy. And I don't know if it was because Paul and them guys were just, I can't do it. Let's send Timothy. He's a young guy. Let's get him over there because he might fire him up. Right? Now I told Pastor Darrell we just got done playing the playoff game. Unfortunately, we lost. But we have five different coaches. And every coach has a different job. I'm like the encouragement coach. Right, you got some other coaches they're gonna lie into you, right? But I'm gonna be like, come on, man, you guys can do it, right? Let's keep on going, let's keep pushing. And sometimes you need a different coach to go tell somebody something to get them excited, or sometimes you need a different coach to explain something to them so that they can understand it clearer. And that's what we see here. It says, for in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But it says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and your love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, also we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but when you see the fruit that you worked together, or let's say is anybody a gardener? Has anybody grew anything? All right. My aunt used to have a cherry tree, Aunt Ethel, in the backyard. Man, that was a great tree, right? But she took care of that tree. She used to put nets on it so the birds couldn't get in there. Yeah, I don't know if you guys had cherry trees. You know the birds are gonna be in there. She had the nets on there, and then one time we took a branch and we were like, oh, we can go make one in our yard. But, you know, me and my brothers, we used to play outside, and we might just accidentally run into the tree and knock the branch over, right? We didn't know what we were doing, but she did. She nurtured it, and when you see the fruit from that tree, you're like, wow. That's what Paul is saying right here. When he heard, he was discouraged of what was going on, but when Timothy came back and said, hey, they're really standing strong, amidst everything that's going on, they are still standing strong. And Paul is saying, we are encouraged by you because you are standing for God. That's one of the most important things. Me personally, I look for impact. I want to see how things are being impacted. I want to see how people are being impacted, right? And how do you measure that? It's hard to measure impact all the time. But when you start hearing people start saying the word of God instead of what they used to say, when you start seeing how they walk and talk, and it's a little bit different. They might still mess up, but they say, oh, man, forgive me, Lord. God, yeah, I can't do that no more because I'm with Jesus, right? Even in the beginning stages, when you see that, it gets you excited because fruit is growing. Verse 9 says, for what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Then it says again, he's encouraged, but he says again, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So Paul is encouraged, but he still realizes that it's not done. It's not done. I have to still go back down there and make sure we are continuing to move in the right direction. We got one battle. We won that battle. Or we might have needed a crucial first down. We got that first down. But there's more that we have to go see. So we're going to continue to pray and get there and encourage so that we can strengthen what is lacking in your faith. That's what he said. And then Paul ends this chapter with a prayer. He says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. That's a crucial prayer right there for the church. Lord, help us increase in love for one another. I believe when Jesus was on the earth, he said, Lord, help them become one like me and you are one. Right? My dad was talking about different denominations earlier before I got started. With all the different denominations, we can allow it to divide us so many different ways. But if we can't love our brother that we can see, how can we say we love God that we can't see? So his prayer is that they love one another. And then he says, so that God, if we love one another, then God may establish your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So it's our prayer that we can love one another. It's important to encourage and to strengthen, but it's our prayer that we love one another. The very last scripture I'm going to go to is just one scripture. It's going to be Luke chapter 22, verse 32. And this is the prayer of Jesus for Peter. And this is actually an interesting place for a prayer. But we got to see the heart of Jesus for you. Actually, I'm going to read this verse 31 and 32. And then I'm going to just expound a little bit. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. All right. Now, I don't know about you, but anybody that is with Jesus, the devil is asking for. Because he's not trying to leave any leaf unturned. If you're on God's side, see, the devil is not just neutral, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes you might be around some people and there's some neutral people. When you need some people that are on one side or the other, you got some neutral people, right? Some things start happening in the world. Oh, let's just be neutral. God's word says this, but, you know, they say that. Let's just be neutral. But the devil's not neutral. The Bible says he got three jobs: to kill, steal, and destroy. So he says the devil has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. That means just make you just disappear. Get rid of you. But this is the heart of Jesus, and this is not only for Simon, this is for us. It says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Jesus says this, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, it's interesting where this prayer is. It's okay, son. It's interesting where this prayer is because this is before Peter denies him. He's praying knowing what's going to happen because, look, he actually says something interesting. It says, and when you have returned to me, right? So that meant if we kind of just because we can see what's going to happen, right? That meant Peter was going to leave him. But he's praying to prepare, right? He's preparing Peter for what's going to happen. He says, let's read it one more time. I don't know why this thing keeps moving. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. There's going to be times where you may falter. You may fall. You may feel like you haven't given everything to God. Your prayer life might not be the way it's supposed to be. Your time in the Word might be rushed, right? There's times where that happens. But Jesus is saying, when you return to me, go strengthen your brethren. It's our job to get back to where we need to be and strengthen our brethren. And I'm going to say this. Sometimes you just getting back to where you're going to be is strengthening somebody. It's going to give somebody the strength that they need. They're waiting for somebody to just share something that's going to impact them. This week, I played with some guys on the basketball team. It started as an all-believers team, and now I'm the only believer on there, right? And unfortunately, the believers couldn't play together. Jesus, help them, right? But this week, I was like, you know, we pray before and after the game all the time. But I wanted to bring a scripture to him. And I was like, the scripture I brought was trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I told him, that's God, and he will direct your path. And they're silent because they respect me. But I told him throughout this week, I want you guys to make sure you honor God in all you do. Honor God. And Lord, no, we don't know what's happening yet. But I'll tell you this, when I give you an assignment, there's going to be something that happens to the point where you're going to have to either honor God or you're going to see, man, I didn't honor God. Right? But what I look at is, let me continue to plant seeds, not just prayers, but encouragement, the word, so that it will impact and help build us up. And guess what? As we leave this place, we have to be the ones that pray. Not just the pastors, not just the leaders. Every one of us have to be the ones that pray. Each and every one of us has to be one that encourages, especially when we see people that are discouraged. Each and every one of us has to strengthen the next one. That's the job of the church. And when we do that effectively, if you look at in Acts chapter 2, when the church was growing, this was prevalent because they were together, all together on one accord. Right? If you know you're missing something personally, you're not just going to let it to the side and be like, oh, it's all right. I'm missing $500, huh? Who worried about that? No, you go find it. But if your brother or sister is missing something that important in their spiritual walk, and you know where it's at, you don't just be like, it'll be all right. You say, man, let me just encourage you, man. I feel the Lord telling me to tell you this. And that's how we can be effective as the body of Christ. Amen? As we pray, encourage, and strengthen. Lord, I just thank you, dear God, for your word that you spoke to me, dear God. I pray, dear God, that it will speak to me and each and every one of us, God. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that you would allow us to see the opportunity, dear God, to encourage, pray, and strengthen our brothers and sisters. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you would build us up as your body, dear God, because you said that you're coming back for a church without spot or blame, dear God. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for missing our parts that we're supposed to play. And dear God, build us together as your body. Dear God, I pray to God that you move by your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.